DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Rice.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you.
Samantha.
I am going to have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
And welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am Bryce.
I am Big Jim.
And I am Bryce, who sounds different today because I'm taking hormone treatments because of my upcoming child.
Apparently, there's a clone.
There's a lot about child rearing you don't know if you're taking hormones.
After you're pregnant. I want my kid to come out huge.
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 It'll be huge. The biggest. It'll be the greatest baby ever.
Everyone says so. Trust me.
I know babies. They're great.
I've had awesome. Many babies.
Whoa. All right. Dial it back there, DT.
So I saw this morning that he announced that if the new health care bill doesn't go through, he's just going to leave Obamacare. To which I say, don't pass the bill.
Until they finally do pass something and he signs it because he's a fucking liar.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
See, I had an epiphany today while I was walking around the mall shopping to buy a shirt that I ruined Malia's in the wash because I'm one of the... I was doing her laundry, you know, like a good kept man does. And
fool!
I put a shirt of hers in the dryer that wasn't supposed to go in the dryer and so it came out kind of... Kind of baby dollish. It's cute to me, but not to her out in, or her coworkers apparently. But I'm walking around the mall and I realize something that the way Trump is running shit, like with the travel ban and everything else, he's doing the thing that you do in business, which is you start off with a really shitty deal, and you start bargaining from the bottom up. So you're not starting off at an even field. So his first healthcare plan was just fucking like cartoonishly stupid, like. Even Satan's like, come on, bro. You got to put a little effort into this. Otherwise, they're going to see right through it. And so we're going to get like a slightly better version, and we're just going to crawl along until finally something that barely resembles anything of worth is going to finally pass because...
You know what's going to happen, Jim?
What's that?
We're going to end up with Obamacare again. It's just going to be a different name.
Well, have you read anything on this?
No, but I know it's just terrible, but Jim's right. They're going to keep changing it and negotiating, and we're going to end up with Obamacare with a completely different name, and people are going to be like, yeah, we got rid of Obamacare. It's the same
thing. The problem is they're negotiating the wrong way.
Yeah.
If they did a full repeal of Obamacare, it was like 300-something million people would lose coverage.
I think it's 3 million, but still, that's still a lot of fucking people.
Yeah. They passed the act as it was before they started wheeling dealing yesterday, there would have been 46 million Americans that would have lost coverage.
Yeah.
So if they would do a full repeal, fewer people would lose coverage than what they're currently proposing.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
No joke.
And like, they're trying to make it even worse by removing coverage mandates so insurance would not have to cover maternity visits,
all kinds of health,
hospital visits. They wouldn't have to have any coverage. So basically, you would literally have, oh, you can go to the doctor once.
That's it.
And you probably pay $40 or $50, and premiums would be going up, I think it was $1,200 or $1,300 a year.
Jeez, a year.
Or more.
You know, and it's like, I think James is right, though. I think they're just going to change Obamacare, just like the name or something. So it's like, I am proud to announce that we will no longer be using the Affordable Care Act. And now, through my brilliant brain that has not been at all affected by all the hair tonics and skin dyes that I've been using, I'm proud to present my health care, the Less Expensive Care Act.
less expensive care act.
It's a great plan. That's probably what. You know, I swear.
They're going to call it the St. Petersburg Care Act.
Can we call it the Hiroshima Act?
The Vladimir Putin Act.
Quit Stalin and bring out the Healthcare Act already.
My good friend Vladimir loves this healthcare plan. Oh, he thinks it's going to work for everyone.
It also defunds Planned Parenthood for a minimum of 1 year. Completely.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. And it's only Planned Parenthood by name.
Jesus.
You know, when there was all that kick up the last time about defunding Planned Parenthood and just what a horrible because of what a horrible plan or whatever some senator was trying to make it out to be, Malia and I actually started like our own like two and a half people protest for Planned Parenthood out in front of the one there on 52nd and Powell. There's that little Planned Parenthood kind of off to the side. That's the one that she would go to and been going there for years for a whole number of things, none of which were abortions.
Yeah.
But for
because they're a human, they're a woman's resource company.
Yeah.
And they do more than just abortions, and they very rarely do abortions.
Well, they used to have that on the sign. We do more than just abortions, and people really kind of got uncomfortable about that, you know.
The slogan didn't take off the way they wanted it to.
Rotate your tires and check your oil.
Check your oil.
Come for the abortion, stay for a pap smear. Like, come on, it's a But no, we made up signs and we brought the pooba, who was barely, you know, she was just a couple of months old at the time, and the three of us were out front. We had these signs and it said, "We support Planned Parenthood because we planned." And people were driving by, and some of them were like all in super support because they actually read the signs. Other people saw us and immediately assumed that we were some crazy religious types and sort of flipping us off. One person started to yell something, read the sign, and they gave us a thumbs up. And one of the employees, who I'm sure goes through this almost daily, was coming walking up the side of the building where we were, and she sees us holding the signs and kind of waving at traffic and everything else, and she's trying desperately not to make eye contact, but kind of glances up and reads one of the signs, and immediately her face lit up. She was so happy, and she's like, "Can I get a picture like of you guys?" Because, like, we never get this kind of support from anybody.
We never get this kind of protest.
You know, like, you know, we're here for you, not against you. And the one time I actually went with Malia because she had to get a checkup, and we're coming out, and there would be these women that wouldn't, like, do anything, like, to try and stop you or yell things at you, but they would just stand there reading the Bible. And so we got into our minivan, and as I'm pulling out of the parking lot, I couldn't resist. I rolled down the window. I'm like, "Hey, now we're going to go home and have some unprotected sex," and then just pulled away. Well, Lee was upset, but she had a smile on her face, so I think, I don't know.
She liked the sentiment. She just didn't mad. Like the threat that you made.
I wasn't threatening sex. I was begging for it, but, you know, it's...
To her, that's a threat.
Oh.
Look, reverse damn it, I let you climb on top of you, top of me once.
And look what happened.
Okay, so last week we kind of found some just fucking mentally insane right-wing conservative stories from quote-unquote legitimate news sites.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Bryce, or maybe it was you, Jim, who had the idea, let's tackle another one of our favorite subjects and get the craziest religious type stories we can find.
Yes.
Both Bryce and I did our homework. How did you make out?
I, like a true American, waited until the very last minute and desperately combed the internet.
I can't tell you. I did this last night.
I did it yesterday morning.
Yeah. I knew what.
Yeah.
I knew what website I was going to because I knew that I was going to find plenty of stuff. And it only took me about 3 pages and I had about 5 articles.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I just typed in conservative Christian news.
and your computer shut. It threw up and shut down.
Threw up, shut down, and set itself on fire. IT was not happy.
No.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
I'll defer to Bryce.
All right.
I was trying to decide. Is that 2 weeks in a row I've thrown you under the bus?
Yeah, I think yeah. So. You'd think he'd be right. Used to it by now.
He's durable. He's got those hormones in him.
He's preparing for fatherhood, so.
I have like 3 articles open, so I'm trying to decide which of them I want to go with.
Okay, tell you what, while you're deciding, I'll read mine.
Okay, there we go.
I'll throw myself under the bus.
All right.
This comes from the ever-popular Christian Post. Yes. Benham brothers say Down syndrome children created by God slam Iceland's 100% abortion rate.
Okay.
So my first question was, if Iceland's got a 100% abortion rate, do they not have any children? Are they just like killing themselves off?
Yes.
Is
the answer is yes.
Fuck, man. Is it children of man? Like, how does this? How do they have any people? Like,
no children will be born in Iceland ever.
The good news is you can go to any restaurant, any Bennigan's, any like TGI Fridays, and you don't have that one
screaming
kid in the corner.
There's no screaming children.
Yeah. Movies are great because you don't have to deal with screaming children. It's just fantastic. No, that's not what it is as you dive deeper into the article. So these guys.
No lines for Finding Dory. It's great.
These guys, conservative Christian brothers David and Jason Benham, expressed their love and support for children born with Down syndrome and trisomy on Tuesday, while slamming countries like Iceland, which reportedly abort all such children. Reportedly. The brothers, who have spoken out and marched in several pro-life rallies in America, made a Facebook video with 2 families explaining that Down Syndrome Day, which was Tuesday, and Trisomy Awareness Month, which is in March, are very special to them. Luke is loved by God and is created by God and is special, David Benham said in the video, referencing one of the children with him. And Emma is loved by God and is special. The church really needs to lead the way on this because we love these kids and we love these families. Jason Benham pointed out that in many countries around the world, parents abort their children once they find out they have Down syndrome. In Iceland, since 2008, there hasn't been one Down syndrome baby that's been born. And in the UK, there are more Down syndrome babies that are aborted than are born. Even in America, 90% of Down syndrome babies and other babies with trisomy are aborted. This comes from Tom Lothamer, president of Life Matters Worldwide, called it unconscionable and unthinkable to abort babies with Down syndrome, according to Mission Network News. We know that many Down syndrome children, in fact, most, are an absolute delight to their families, and they have much to offer our cultures and much to offer our communities and neighborhoods. What they have done in Iceland is taken what we might call a worldly sense, an easy way out. Lothamer suggested that many have turned away from God, which is leading parents to simply abort children with problems. We believe that every person, no matter their physical, emotional, or mental condition, are created in the image of God. For us to make light of that is a tremendous offense to God, and the problem with the people, like in this case, they don't particularly care about God, and they don't even recognize God, or whatever the case might be. Now I need to stop here because
is this where the blood starts smearing down the paper from you hitting your head on it?
It really does. But the quote here, that we believe that every person, no matter their physical, emotion, or mental condition, is created in the image of God. So God is really fucked up looking.
You know, 2 words, Gary fucking Busey. If God even like quasi resembles Gary fucking Busey, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a reason why he's invisible, because no one wants to see him, and he doesn't want anybody to see him.
Ever.
If what these guys are saying is in fact the case.
The idea of that. Now, again, I didn't have a chance to go look and check up the statistics, but I don't think that Iceland is aborting every single child who may or may not be diagnosed with Down syndrome in utero.
Yeah. It's
I mean, I don't even know. Can we tell?
You can when, well, yeah, before the baby's born, you can tell if the baby has developmental issues.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I'm not up on the science on that.
They can do some genetic testing and see if there's a risk factor for it.
Okay.
But this is more of those that situation where they're using creative numbers to say, because there's no way 90% in America of children with Down syndrome are aborted. What makes the 10% so special? You know, it's
they have super Down.
It's one of those where it's like 90% of, well, it's probably more along the lines of children that have a more severe form of Down syndrome that wouldn't survive or would cause complications to the mother should the birth continue. I think that would be where the 90% would kind of come in, of like a small subsection of a subsection of a subsection. But they're making it seem like if you even have a little bit of Down syndrome, that's it. You're going to be aborted.
Here's a thought that occurred to me. I'm sorry, Bryce. I know you've got something to say.
That's
here,
right.
But I just want to get this thought out. This occurred to me this morning as I was thinking about this article. If God existed and didn't want abortions to be an option, number one, he would make it genetically impossible to abort a fetus. If you aborted a fetus, God would make it to where you essentially kill the mother.
Yeah.
Well, a woman will naturally abort a birth if something is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that's what stillbirth is. It's essentially nature's way to abort a child. So the fact that we can do it, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the fact that we can do it and God has allowed us to discover how to do it kind of says to me that God's okay with abortion. I mean, God's clearly okay with murder.
They'll give you the free will argument.
Yeah.
He gave us free will.
Yeah.
It's circular logic. There's no way around it. Yeah,
he gave
so.
You free will to think the way that you want to think.
Yeah.
But only if you think my way, which is not free at all.
Yep. So I'm going to throw this out there. This is probably where they got their statistics for this. If they did any research, they probably just put this Google search in and took the first thing that pops up. And
which is how you did your investigation, I assume.
Exactly. A study published in 2003 found that over the period of 1976 to 1999, the abortion rate in Iceland rose by 133%.
Okay, but what is the factor of that?
Increasing from 9.4 abortions per 1,000 women to 21.9 per 1,000. So it's the number that are receiving them, not 100% of women are getting abortions.
Yeah, but again, as we've seen...
And it's the misleading title.
It's
a clickbait title.
Yeah, yeah, but it's also how you present these facts to go along with the way you want people to think about your story. So you present it in such a way that makes it seem like 100% of women are getting abortions.
Yeah.
Because apparently in Iceland, only Down syndrome children are being born.
Yeah.
You know, I read a statistic that says that, again, thanks to medical science, in the last 40 years, the life expectancy of a child born with Down syndrome has risen from 10 years to 47 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a child born with Down syndrome does not have that long of a lifespan to begin with because of this genetic problem that they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know the science behind it. I don't know the medical history about it, but I do know that to have them, even at 47, that's not that long a life. And it's a very difficult life for them.
And their families.
Exactly. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, issues. So if you look at it from the standpoint of a 99%er, someone who can't really afford, even with affordable health care, can't afford to raise a child with that much medical
expenditure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but it kind of makes sense that they go, well,
And you also
weigh
have
the quality
to weigh,
of life.
Exactly. You have to weigh what you expect the quality of life could be.
And if you think, even for a second, that you can't provide a good quality of life for that child, you owe it to the child.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call a spade a spade. It's a mercy killing. Their life expectancy is not going to be great, and their quality of life is not going to be great.
They can expect to live to age 60 and beyond now. In like 1910, they often didn't live to the age of 10. So it's gone up significantly.
Yeah, but so is technology.
Yeah.
But it's still a huge undertaking to say, especially now, if you can find out, you know, through genetic testing that, yes, your kid is going to be born with Downs, this is what you can expect to go, I'm going to take that chance. I'm going to take on this huge challenge.
Yep.
You know? It's not to say that you love your baby more or less, regardless of whether or not it's going to be born. We can't genetically test if the kid is going to come out and in 10 years think, well, I was born a boy, but I feel like I should have been born a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, think about their quality of life and eventually their medical expenditures to go through gender reassignment.
Yeah. I believe,
you know, and I bring that up because last night my wife and I went to a movie and we saw this big, essentially ad for a YouTube movie about this kid who.
Yep, I know when you're talking about.
Yeah.
I saw that too.
Is it the one where the kid wants to go back to his hometown, or something like he's like a teen or like a teenager or a young adult, and my. Because I saw a different documentary, or I saw a preview for a different documentary that was kind of along those lines.
I'm not sure.
He's a younger. She is a younger lady.
She was born
she's in high school. She was born a boy.
I think she's college now.
Yeah, she was born a boy.
Born a boy. Supposed to like great diver, like all this stuff, and started doing when she was still a he. Started doing makeup tutorials on YouTube. And has gone through gender reassignment, and she's now going by Gigi. And it's kind of a remarkable story of how she kind of persevered through all this stuff, and how, you know, because of her mother getting cancer, decided that life is very short, and I shouldn't be suffering through this mental and emotional hell I'm going through because I'm not who I think I should be.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, go ahead.
All the pushback when she decided to become who she wants, who she believes she should be, you know? And it's, I think a lot of it's taken from her YouTube channel, and it's basically posted up into like a movie. It's very interesting, and I think it kind of gets to the heart of the issue for a lot of these teenagers who are born one way and feel that they should be something else, you know?
Yeah. If you can, I'd say maybe post a link to that documentary in the description of the show.
I'd have to find it, but yeah, I might do that. Because I kind of want to see the movie. I want to see this kid's journey, you know? I mean, that takes real guts, not only to say to the... First of all, not only to come out to the world and say, yes, I'm gay. But to go even farther and go, not only am I gay, but I don't think I'm gay because I think I should be a woman. Or I'm a woman, I should be a man. I mean, you know, in this day and age, I think that's pretty gutsy. You know, but
doubt.
In 20 years, it's going to be just the thing. Like, Jim, you were talking. I've heard this episode.
You can say, Jim, you were born a woman.
No, you used to do the Court and Fat Boy show with Byron Beck, and
yes.
You brought up the point. Byron was talking about someone he knew coming out to him, and you brought up the point that it's to the point where we're accepting it now, so it's not like that big a deal to us. It may be a big deal to the individual, yeah, but not us as a society. How do you think that we've gotten to the point where it's just it's accepted now?
I think it's a little easier to make that statement to the world just because of the fact that there's such a community that exists. Whereas years ago, you risked complete ostracization from your family, from your friends, from your job, from your life. I mean, just so that you could live comfortably and be okay in your own skin, you had to give up everything that you had built up in your life up until that point. And more so. And then now you're being viewed as like a, some kind of a freak or a monster, and like other people don't want to, you know, let their kids play with you because, you know, you're, you know, a way that's different or that scares them in some way. And I actually think it was, I think Byron was, saying about how court would have just been like, yeah, all right, cool, you're gay, whatever. And, yeah, and Byron just gave him a ration of shit because he's just like, you're such a fuck. Because of the fact that there is still that sense that some of the people, even though there is this community now, and even though it is easier for people to kind of vocalize how they truly feel, there's still going to be a lot of blowback that comes from the most unlikely of places. I mean,
there still is a stigma.
Yeah. Down to the restroom that you can use.
Yeah. Well, even Bryce is much younger than Jim and I, and for myself, growing up in junior high and high school, I'll freely admit I was homophobic, but yeah, it wasn't like I hated homosexuals. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, but as I grew and I learned more about it, and it just, you know, my mindset was always that of acceptance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you are who you are. And it's not for me to say that it's right or wrong. And I think more people, especially so-called Christians, need to practice what they preach in that it is not for me to judge. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I mean, you know, and for you to say to someone who is homosexual, transgender, anything that you deem is different and wrong, it's not for you to say, it's not for you to judge.
Yeah.
That's
supposedly
God's,
it's for that, I was going to say, it's for
God's
God.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe I'm the only one here that went to Catholic school, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So their ideologies of homosexuality and abortion alike, it's carved in stone, literally. Two big stones. Well, yeah, that'd be the Ten Commandments, but, you know, even those kind of get cherry-picked on occasion.
Wait a minute. Is there anything about homosexuality in the Ten Commandments? I don't remember that.
No, well, there's not. But I'm saying, like, ultimately, that's how they view it, is it's carved in stone. Maybe not in the two tablets, but basically, it's like, if you're gay, you're an abomination. If a man lay with another man or a woman lay with another woman, then they should be destroyed or whatever. In the same book that says if you wear clothing of two different fibers, you should also be destroyed. So it's going to be a long line for the destruction.
Yeah.
But as I was growing up in the Catholic faith, you know, you're raised to believe that being gay is wrong, and it's a sickness, and it can be cured possibly, or, you know, those that are that way should just be, you know, treated as, you know, less than or other, or, you know, monstrous. But at the same time, my father and I were doing plays and musicals and everything else in community theaters. And
fag.
So, theater fag, thank you. Just a subtle difference.
Sorry.
But I knew a lot of homosexual and lesbian men and women that I never had any kind of an issue with. If anything, they were more fun to be around than these stodgy, stuck-up, fucking, you know, dye-in-the-wool Christians that were just, you know, their hatred really brought a bummer to any kind of party. We would go to cast parties after shows, and it would just be, it was like a carnival. It was fucking incredible. And I remember when I was a little kid, God, I can't remember which play we were doing. I think my dad was doing, I was just kind of going to rehearsals with him and stuff, doing my homework. But there's one gentleman in particular. He and his partner were in the production. And, like, just seeing the two of them interact, you saw two people that were perfect for one another. You know, they gave each other shit. They laughed. You know, they shared everything amongst themselves. And I was still so young and naive. I asked my dad, I'm like, so, like, you know, I forget what the topic was that came up. But I'm like, so when are they going to get married? And my dad's like, well, they can't. And like, and that was such a foreign concept. Like, well, how is it they can't get married? And he's just like, and my dad's like, I don't know what to tell you. It's just how things are. And, it's how it's perceived. I'm like, well, they go to like a justice. He's like, no, well, they can have a different type of ceremony. And he was getting kind of uncomfortable because he didn't really know how to answer. But he was very honest with the whole thing because, you know, he was agreeing with me, but at the same time, he couldn't give me any real definitive answers as to why not. On the topic of abortion, when I was in, I think it was seventh grade, it was what they call Respect Life Week, which is a week during Catholic faith, as well as especially in Catholic schools, where it gets crammed down your throat that, you know, pro-choice is wrong and pro-life is the only way to be. And so my classmates and I were sitting around, and the teacher was trying to get us to write letters to our local congressmen and women in hopes to have them maintain pro-life as the law. And so one by one, we started raising our hands and asking questions like, well, what about if the woman is raped? Or what about if, you know, all these other, like, really solid, valid questions. And the teacher, after a while, realized that she was being overrun by these kids that weren't just going to be blindly following, you know, pawns in this agenda. Like, we were like, no, there's other ways to think about this. Well, what about this? And they couldn't give us a definitive answer one way or another. They're just like, just write your goddamn letters. That was one of the questions somebody brought up. What was it? One of the defenses that the teacher tried to throw out was, well, what if that next baby that gets aborted was going to be Jesus Christ? And I was,
well,
I was
God like, wouldn't let him get aborted, would he?
I was going to say, you think he'd think that one out a little bit more.
You know, the guy's had a lot of time to think on the topic.
Yeah.
But, you know, we say, well, what if the baby's sick? Or what if the woman is just not capable of doing so? You know, and all these other what-if scenarios that were coming up. And we weren't trying to be defiant. We were just being inquisitive. And the teacher was just getting thoroughly pissed. Because they just assumed it's like an easy softball pitch kind of project for us to do, and we just weren't going for it. So, you know, then and there is when I realized that I've been having this shit hammered down your throat for, you know, my entire student life at that point. Does it make it right? And when you hit them with questions that they can't answer, they just default back into, well, it's God's will. Well,
that's the safe answer.
Yeah. Well, it's a safe answer, but it's also the answer that you can't argue against.
Yeah.
You know, God's will. Wait a minute. You can't win an argument by saying that.
So speaking of rape, let's move on to let's move on to mine.
Bryce Wolf.
Master segue.
It'd be great if he said, speaking of rape, and went off on a completely different topic.
Speaking of rape, the price of gas is going up. What the hell is up with that? Jeez, I'm taking
Oklahoma state representative declares rape and incest the will of God.
Wow.
State Representative George Fott is the author of a shitty new bill called HB 1549. And that would outlaw abortion in the case of genetic abnormality, which could include anything from Down syndrome to a child being born with its brain outside of its head, or even some kind of condition that could mean that the child would live a few weeks in incredible pain and die anyway.
Okay.
So while they were discussing the bill, he ended up having a conversation with another Democratic representative. This guy is a Republican. Shocking.
What are the odds?
Yeah.
Astronomical.
And he was asked by Corey Williams if rape is the will of God. And Mr. Fott said, well, you know, if you read the Bible, there's actually a couple circumstances where that happened. he begins. The Lord uses all circumstances. I mean, you can go down that path, but it's really, unfortunately, he said. Unfortunately, yeah. It's a reality, unfortunately. My apologies. So he continued, and obviously if it happens in someone's life, it may not be the best thing that ever happened.
No, but fucking, really?
So you're saying, Jesus. Yes, but so you're saying that God is not sovereign with every activity that happens in someone's life and can't use anything and everything in someone's life, and I disagree with that.
That's exactly the kind of thing that my educational system was trying to cram down my throat when I was in school. There would be pictures in my yearbook of students, and they would always have like a page or two devoted to Respect Life Week. And you know all those stories about people standing out in front of Planned Parenthood and various other hospitals along those lines, and people holding up signs of aborted fetus chunks and other just really disturbing pictures and holding up signs and stuff. Mm-hmm. There would be students who their project was to go out and to basically do that. And jeez, there would be lines of them all lined up. The thing is, like, in years past, it's been like a very serious thing. From my yearbook, there's a picture of a bunch of girls holding up signs that say respect, you know, respect life or whatever. And they're all smiling and mugging it up for the camera. So it just totally took away from the legitimacy of the movement that they were trying to pull off. But at the same time, it's like, this is what they're trying to force you into thinking, to manipulate how you think and everything else. When I got to college, my first paper that I ever wrote was about comparing a Catholic educational system to straight up brainwashing. You know, you're forced to dress the exact same way, think the exact same way, never question, never deviate.
It's the indoctrination.
Yeah. So,
did we catch you in the bath, Jim?
What, is it okay if I just grab a quick little horse bath while we're podcasting? I'm contributing. Whether or not my pants are on is irrelevant. You can't see me. I'm John fucking Cena over here, all right?
Actually, Jimmy Two Showers over there.
Hey, you know what? When you sweat this much, you know what I mean? It's glandular. It's God's will. I can't get it. Oh, I threw
a lot of things jeez.
I'm so disgusted right now.
that was the line. The talk about abortion and rape being totally cool.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Will. Yeah.
That's one thing. That's
it's God's will.
Yeah. Well, apparently Jim's back was formed in the, you know, God's, you know, butt crevice, you know, image. I got that to look into.
Jeez.
So okay, I'll go with my my story, which isn't technically a story, but it is from some old friends of ours that we haven't heard from in a while, which is strange because considering today's current political environment, I would assume that these people would be out front and center, kind of like they always are. And of course, I'm talking about our old friends, the Westboro Baptist Church.
I've missed them.
Yeah. I have not.
But basically, it's a post on their website, which I'm sure is dumping all kinds of brainwashing software onto my phone, even as I look at it. But it says, the gospel of Christ to be preached in opposition to fierce idolatry at the NCAA basketball final four at University of Phoenix. Cardinals versus Glendale. They included that. I love that they included the
games. Gotta include who's playing.
It's like, if Duke's playing, there's no way I'm going to protest. But wait, Glendale's in it? No, fuck them. Where's my son? But the story underneath it is just like, I got a couple sentences in, and then I had to wash my mind out with bleach. It says, the educational institutions in this nation and this world, parentheses, have become breeding grounds for sin of every type. From preschool, the children of this generation are taught that they are special, unique snowflakes, I caught that little thing in there, whose lives ought to be dedicated to the pursuit of their every thought and desire. Simultaneous to this insane indoctrination of selfish human pride, teachers and leaders have eradicated the words of God from the landscape, including the very notion.
Yeah, because Christians never get erections.
No. it's their genitals being filled with sin, and they have to jerk it out of themselves. But if their seed falls on the floor, then it's a whole thing. But
it's a sin.
It is a sin.
It is.
There is very much a sin. Anyone who would mention God and His perfect standard is to be vilified and punished. What great shame! The culmination of this satanic training regime is the college experience. It's also in quotations. Once these children have been utterly spoiled, their moral compasses shattered, their youthful lust and pride promoted to a lofty peak. This is actually getting me kind of working a chubby over here.
can you slow down?
They are sent away to an institution of higher learning.
Yeah.
Where they are expected, all capital letters, to reject authority, to behave like lawless, godless fools.
America, I think we need porn music right here.
Bow, wow.
Somebody order a pizza in this dorm? All right.
Got a pool that needs to get cleaned.
Throwing my moral compass right out the window.
America brags that this process... hold on. America brags...
Oh, you're killing the mood, Jim.
Sorry. Boy, if I had a nickel. America brags about this process...
He'd be president right now.
And the idol of this satanic me-first culture. Rather than teach these children to be sober-minded bodies and God-fearing citizens, they are encouraged to spend all their time and energy idolizing their bodies and crafting useless skills in college. Okay. The strength of youth, a particular gift of God, is wasted on the villainous pursuit to the absolute exclusion of God and godliness. Then it just basically gives a bunch of information about where you want to meet up. Oh, there's a quote. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godlessness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of what is to come. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all exception.
Wait a minute. Godlessness is profitable? So we're going to get rich?
Godliness. Godlessness.
Yeah, because you have to start a church. You're tax exempt.
Yeah.
I mean, you're immune from the law, especially if you're Catholic. They'll move you around.
Yeah, I vote we start a church, guys. We'll call it Not Another Church. Not Another Religion.
It's a fake religion like the Flying Spaghetti Monster. How dare you?
Yeah.
There's nothing fake
about the Flying Spaghetti Monster. How dare you?
There's states that have ruled.
There's just
this one last part I wanted to get to. After the quote from Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, 9, exercise is not especially sinful. Basketball is not necessarily sinful. These are things that can be used in the right measure to encourage healthy lives and hard work. However, encouraging children to substantially invest their lives in the pursuit of athletics rather than the pursuit of godliness is sinful. Creating an idol out of sports and athletes, Final Four, March Madness, bracketology, etc.
The study of brackets?
Well, think about it. It's okay if it's a bracket, but God has to be the winner. It's just how it works.
I'd love to see like their religious brackets. Like, could you imagine putting religious?
There'd be no bracket. It'd just be God, and that's it.
I know God would always win in the middle, but I would like to see who they put up against each other.
Well, obviously on the one
Buddha,
you'd have the 12 apostles.
Muhammad.
Yeah, you'd have all the apostles on one side.
Flying Spaghetti Monster, Cthulhu.
Ooh, man, can't be Cthulhu.
Rock, paper, Cthulhu.
Spock.
Dr. Doom.
Is Dr. Doom a god?
No. Oh, no. I was thinking of the guy from the Avengers.
Doctor Strange?
No.
Bruce Banner?
The guy with all the
Infinity Thanos?
The guy with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Thanos.
Thanos, yes. Thank you.
I don't think he's technically a god, though.
Zeus would be on there.
Odin.
Ra. Yeah.
Gods of old.
Yeah. Thor. Thank you.
Loki.
Are they technically gods?
In Norse religion, yeah.
I guess that's true.
Odin.
And getting back to James's story real quick about how they're going to just throw Iceland under the bus like that. Pretty sure that's where fucking Vikings come from, bro. So I really wouldn't be pissed.
Actually, that's Norway, but good call.
It's a real quick phone. calls him up to the America's talking some shit.
Well,
sail some ships, set them on fire when you get here, and just lay waste.
Norse religion was Norway, and I can't think of the other country that's up there.
I thought Norse religion was a worshiping of Edward Norton.
No, that's Norton's.
Oh, Nortonism. That's right. I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah.
I always think of him from Sausage Party now.
Edward Norton's the Sausage Party.
Come at me, bro.
He's the Jewish bagel.
Oh, yeah. I just saw that the other day. It's a terrible movie, but I loved
it. So funny. It's so fucked up.
That big orgy at the end is just...
I know. But
spoilers!
Dude, if you haven't seen it now...
Yeah.
Hit up on Rainierlander, or whatever it is.
It's that site's gone away, and it's on Netflix. That's where I saw it. Yes. Was Netflix.
Well, I'm in the Bible Belt. Internet service in your home is also considered a sin. So,
well, and you'd have to watch it, with a flashlight under your blankets when your parents are asleep.
How do you watch
scrambly.
It?
Scrambly on the scrambly TV.
You watch it on the scramble channel. I think that was HBO. A boob. I think that was a boob.
My generation bears Dr. Moore's shoulders than any in the history of mankind.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
Going off on Jim's story, I think I'm the only one of us who's actually met people from the Westboro Baptist Church and talked to them.
I interviewed Shirley Phelps.
I've actually met Shirley face to face.
Oh, did you turn to stone?
And a couple of her daughters who are now who have left, including Megan. See, when I met her, she was like 15 or 16, and she left the church when she was in her 20s. I actually just read an article on it. I should try and find that article. It's really interesting about how the seed of doubt took root in her at a kind of a young age. And I think actually when I met her, she was having...
In the midst of the
crisis. She was having a spiritual crisis, essentially. But she hit it well. I mean, she really hit it. I mean, she was the voice of the church for a long time. And I know she's left, and I think a couple, I want to say a sister and a cousin have left. And if you got the time and you want to see some interesting stuff, Kevin Smith interviewed a couple of the Phelps children who left.
Oh, God,
and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Kevin Smith, so there's jokes, but it's really, really good. Like,
yep.
Kevin Smith is actually kind of a decent interviewer.
Well, he did like a whole thing because one of his movies was getting slammed. Or no, it was
Red State.
Yeah, it was Red State. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And the whole anti-Westboro Baptist anti-protest that went on, that was just fucking incredible.
Well, I don't think it was too long after Red State because Megan Phelps was at the Red State premiere.
Yeah.
And because Kevin Smith hooked her family up with tickets to it, and they like left halfway through. But I think it was not too long after that Megan left. And I don't think it's Megan that Kevin Smith interviewed on the YouTube video, but it is one of the Phelps sisters. I think it's the one younger than Megan.
Okay.
But this interview that I saw was Megan Phelps, and she was talking about how she left and how, like, when she said that she wanted to leave, and how, like, the family just turned on her.
Oh, yeah.
And talked about the hierarchy of the church and how, like, her grandfather started it, Fred Phelps started it, but how, like, he's not even close to... Is Fred Phelps still alive?
No, he's dead.
Okay, yeah. I seem to recall, like, when... In the article, when Fred Phelps died, how, like, someone who wasn't even in the family, like, took over, and how, like, more, like, hardcore it became after that. Yeah, radicalized. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you kind of have to really pick the gauntlet up because your figurehead is dead.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Megan talked about how she hasn't talked to her family in, like, 10 years. And, like, and the thing is like, all this doubt came. She started talking to someone on Twitter, I think. Someone I think she respected or something, but like really opened her eyes to, like, how wrong her religion was.
Yeah.
Not her religion, but this system that she was in. And how she got introduced to music that her family was like, no, you can't listen to that because that promotes homosexuality and stuff. And really,
but
how
Mom,
all this...
But Mom, I love Winger. She's only...
But
17.
Really, how it all started just from Fred Phelps being homophobic.
Yeah.
And not being educated that, you know... I mean, that's really what it stems down to. It's like, you built up a... fucking religion because you were afraid that you might be gay. You know? I mean, this... Fuck. But, yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about people from the Westboro... Not all the people, but some of the people from the Westboro Baptist Church, and they are the nicest people you could ever meet until you get them... Until they start talking about religion.
Yeah.
You know? So...
Just like us.
Yeah.
But hey guys, I gotta get going. I gotta head out to work. So,
Brother Jim, it was a pleasure as always.
Father James, as always, also a pleasure. Brother Bryce,
make sure you leave your offering in the basket before you leave the church.
Of course.
Do they take severed heads?
I always put the lotion in the basket. Come on, that's how I was doing.
Yeah, you really need to stop that.
We get it.
Or you
stop putting the empty bottles in there.
Or you will have to take penance with Brother Bryce.
That's okay. All right, you win, I lose.
Right. There will be no Hail Marys.
But you'll be full of something. Grace.
Okay, brother, we'll talk to you next week, and to our listeners, we'll say see ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.